Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Religion Means Alive with your host, Rashad Sunni El-Amin, who is your holistic educator and teacher. I'm also a naturopath, and my show is Your Health is Your Wealth. I'm on every Thursday, 6 o'clock till about 7:30. And I always thank the Creator for allowing us this time to share information, important health information that will help people and hopefully reverse their conditions. I also want to thank Imam Alfred Muhammad, who allows me to spot every Thursday. And, of course, before I start, he always asks if you all can support his program here, Religion Means Alive, with whatever funds that you can send to keep this program going, because he shares so much good information on his blog radio program, and information is important to all of us. And we don't get information from the regular media, information that we should have that would benefit us. So I always suggest, if you can, all who can, everybody can, but all who can, whatever, small donation, large donation, it doesn't matter, just send it to Imam Alfred Muhammad. He's at 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey. Linden is L-I-N-D-E-N. And his zip code is 07036. So be generous if you can, and if you can't, that's understandable. Some of us have it, some of us don't. At times I don't have it. Yeah. So it's whatever you can do. We always thank everybody who does send donations, and we thank those who want to send donations but just don't have it, and God knows best. Okay, brothers and sisters, so today I got a few topics I want to speak on, and a couple of them is dealing with the eyes, cataracts and glaucoma, which some of you may be suffering with. I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who have these conditions, And then I'm going to deal with muscle aches and cramps. Also, I want to touch on, and we're going to get into that in a few minutes. And excuse me, I don't know why I hear this noise in my phone. And the other one I want to deal with, probably coming up first when I get to the topics, will be bladder infections or cystitis. I know there's some of you out there who have suffered with this before or are suffering with it now. So these are the conditions I will deal with today. But before we go there, I just want to say we have to be very careful about what we're putting in our bodies. Now, I'm going to be very honest with you. They have some very wicked people out here with some devious minds who are doing things to our food, to our water, to our air, intentionally, to cause us problems. I'm telling you something you should know. You have to really pay attention to what you purchase from the stores, especially the processed foods. You have to understand ingredients. You have to know what those ingredients mean. Yes, you have to know these things. Get you a book. There's books out there you can look into that gives you information on the different ingredients and different chemicals that they add to these foods. And you know, I always tell you, eat as close to the land as possible. But there's some wicked people even doing stuff to the soil. Yes, to the soil. And do you know, and it sounds kind of far-fetched, but it's a fact, But they're not going to tell you all this. You have to have people who investigate this stuff, that they're actually putting your vaccines in your food. Yes, brothers and sisters, they're doing things like that, and you're not even aware of it. So some of you refuse to take vaccines, so those just put it in your food. Now, I'm saying to play it safe, always try to buy organic food, raised organically, certified organic, or buy yourself the organic seeds. Plant them in your garden if you have a garden in the back, if you have some little land in the back, a backyard. Grow some of your food during the summer. Also, learn how to use detox teas and different detox herbs. You have to detox every so often because of what they're doing to these foods, you see. And it's very destructive. And you got to protect your liver. Your liver is a detoxifier. You have to keep it strong. Keep some milk thistle in there. Keep some dandelion. Drink dandelion tea. Take the milk thistle extract. Take things of this nature to protect the liver. And, you know, and I'm going to, on one of these shows, and when I can get to the point where Nan Alfred, we have to get together because he has to show me how to be able to get to having a question-answer period on his program, because you need to know certain things. I know you have questions. But for the moment, I'm just saying pay close attention to everything you put in your body. Don't just buy things and you don't read ingredients. And then when you do read the ingredients, you should know what you're reading, because they disguise things with different names. You could be eating pork and not even know it if you were a Muslim or a Jew or a Seventh-day Adventist or somebody that just doesn't eat pork. Yes, and not even know it. You could be putting chemicals in your body that you think you're avoiding, but you're actually putting it in your body because it's disguised under another name. That's how devious these people are. Very devious minds, you understand. And it's just sad to see what they've done. I mean, a lot of these fruits you buy, seedless fruits, be careful. Be careful. They're doing all kind of things to this food, and you're just eating it. All this huge, large fruits all of a sudden are bigger than they ever looked. You know, back even during the time of slavery, even fruits and things, they were not as large as you see now. Some of these fruits and vegetables look so humongous. You're like, well, what the heck is going on here? And you just, oh, that's a nice big one. I'm going to purchase that. And you don't even know what you're purchasing. But I will have a show, and we're going to deal with a lot of those things. And we're going to deal with ingredients. Now, I'm going to explain the ingredients to you so that you know what you are putting in your body. That's why I say, now especially while it's warm out and summer's coming around the corner, eat as much watermelon as possible. Watermelon with the black seeds in it, not the seedless, the one with the black seeds. Eat those watermelons as much as possible because they detoxify your body. Yes, they detoxify your body. You know, back in the early 1900s, they used to have these comic caricatures where they show a black man in a watermelon patch just eating a watermelon. He's just grinning and smiling, and you know, they're making fun of us. And but they didn't realize why the brother was smiling. You know, during slavery, they used to feed the people all this scrap food, garbage. Actually, garbage is what they gave you. You know, all the pork and all this other mess that they would feed the slaves and stuff. But when the brothers got to the watermelon patch, yeah, they were smiling because that watermelon was actually detoxifying them. Yes, it was detoxifying them. So they actually had the last laugh, you see. So brother said, I'm just saying, eat watermelons during the summer. Also, take plenty of different herbal teas to help detoxify yourself. There's plenty of detox teas out there. Just go to your health food store. Go to Whole Foods. Go to these places. They're all on the counter there. You see? Take a good colon cleanse. You know, they have all kind of colon cleanses now, things that you can take. And also eat plenty of raw fruits, raw salads. You need these things. These things keep your body healthy. They help chelate toxins and poisons out of your body. Real food. During the summer, you should eat more cooling foods. You don't need all that hot food. Why would you barbecue in the summertime at 90 and 100 degrees? That doesn't even make common sense. You eating all this burnt up meat, burnt up chicken with glycation. That's glycation. That is a precursor to cancer. Yes, it's a precursor to cancer. And you just thrown down on those barbecues and all that. That's not good. And it's too hot to eat like that. You need food to cool the body down. Eat the salads, the cucumbers. Cucumbers keep it cool. That's why I say cool as a cucumber. You understand? Eat foods that keep the body cool. Plenty of fruits during the day. Plenty of salads. Smoothies. Great. Fresh juices, not that pasteurized juice that you buy from your store has been pasteurized. And once you pasteurize something, it becomes nothing but sugar water. That's all it is, it's sugar water. It's killed all the enzymes in it. There's no life in it anymore, but you just buy that, pay all that money, and some of you think because it says organic, it's great if it's organic, but if it says pasteurized and it's organic, it's really no good. You have to learn how to just make your own fresh juices. Buy you a juice machine. They have all type of juice machines now. You see them advertised on TV. I don't know if I can name the names on this program. I don't want to create no problems here. You see all the infomercials. Take heed. Start juicing for your health. These are things that help heal the body. If you're overweight, some of these machines doing the different juices and the different concoctions will help you lose the weight. Bring you down slim and trim. I'm just saying, don't eat all this cooked food during the summertime and all that meat. You know, some of you eat so much meat, it causes your body to smell. Yes, too much meat has you smelling like an animal after a while. You eat too much meat, some of you. You want those brontosaurus burgers. Want them big as you can get. And some of you have two of those. There's no more. What? It used to be the quarter pounder. What's it now? A pounder? Huh? A two-pounder? With the cheese that clouds you up? You know, and a white bun? which is not healthy at all. White, it's made from white flour and sugar and all that mess. And just think about what you're eating. You see? That food is not for you. Don't eat like that. Got to have my protein. Protein in everything. Your body only needs a little bit of protein. They got plenty of foods that have protein in it naturally. But you want to eat all this meat, constantly eating meat. If I don't eat meat, what am I going to eat? You think God only made meat? Thousands of vegetables and fruits and grains and seeds and nuts and all these other foods, beans and... Come on now. We're talking about what am I going to eat? Eat real food. That's what you're going to eat. You know, you all that like to eat all the meat. And you know, I'm not making fun of nothing. I'm just giving you facts here. The meat that you buy from these supermarkets, and I'm not saying you can't eat meat. It's okay to eat meat if you eat the right meats. That's prepared right. When I was young, I remember my father, and he would walk to the market in Harlem. This is going back in the 50s and early 60s. I remember you go to the market, and in that market, they'd have live chickens, you know, poultry, all kind of live poultry running around. And if you wanted a chicken, a hen, or whatever, they would take and slit the throat of the animal and throw it in a funnel, let it bleed, and then pluck the feathers out, and you had a fresh chicken. You took it home fresh. There's a difference between fresh, and it was, most of it was organic at that time. They didn't have all these chemicals and going into these animals. These were animals that ran around and were free. You understand? Now here, the meats that most of you eat, you buy from a shelf in a supermarket or one of those little local stores, a bodega or something, you see? And when they first slaughter these meats and you see them in these big meat packing places and you know, once the meat is killed, after a while it turns black. So they got to add dye to it to make it look fresh. They got to put nitrates and nitrites to preserve this stuff and other chemicals. And already, on top of that, the animal that you've probably eaten has been shot up with antibiotics before it was killed and all kinds of drugs to fatten them up and to keep them from being stressed out and all these things. And now this is what's wrong with the meat that you're eating. You're not eating a grass-fed, organically raised animal and having it fresh right after the slaughter. No, you buying something that's been on the shelf, dyed, chemicals in it, and drugs that were in it before it was even slaughtered. And you think because the blood has been drained that, oh, that's out of the animal now. No, it isn't, because it's in the tissue. And while you're eating this meat, you're ingesting all of that, all of it. That's not the real meat. If you are going to eat meat, you should buy fresh, slaughtered, and then cook it. Don't buy something that's going to sit on the shelf for a while. And you go to some of these little corner stores, bodegas, or whatever you call them, and they have that meat in there, and 2 weeks later you come back, that same meat is in there, but you don't recognize, you don't know that, because they took it downstairs into the basement and have a bucket of blood, and they dip it in there to make it look fresh, and they put it back on that shelf and sell it to you. And you wonder why you're sick. Be careful with meat. Be careful with the meat. Be careful with all foods nowadays. That's why I say Read ingredients, especially if it's processed stuff, because you don't have ingredients on it. But if you can buy or go to your farmers' markets and buy some fresh, local apples and fruits and peaches, you know, peaches, pears, oranges, or whatever, and fresh vegetables. I mean, just fresh, and smell the freshness in them. You see, and you cook that just like you're on a farm. And there's a big difference. And you feel good. And you go right to the bathroom after you eat because the stuff pushes what was in there the night before and everything. It pushes it out because it's fiber. It's bulk. Meat is not fibrous. It's not bulk. You see, there's no water in it. It lacks enzymes. And you have a hard time digesting the meat. And a lot of you like to eat that meat late at night, which is crazy. You understand? There's a lot of science to food. You need to learn food science. I know most of you are not going to bother with that. But if you're listening, that's good. If you take notes and make sure, brother and sister, you have your pen and pad ready because you want to take notes. Especially on the topics that I'm going to deal with today. But I'm just saying, do the right thing for yourself. I can't eat like that. I can't eat apples. I can't eat. Because you're eating conventional stuff that has additives in it, that has pesticides on it. And that's what you can. That's what's affecting you. So pay close attention. Yeah, it costs a little more for organic food, but you come out cheaper in the long run. Would you rather be in the hospital paying a big medical bill? Sitting up there with a stroke or having had a heart attack or developed cancer or being all arthritic, you understand? Or having a host of different diseases, which these doctors don't even know how to cure. And you sitting up there thinking they can do something for you. They put a Band-Aid on it, drug you up, and send you home. Or do a little surgery, cut one of your organs out or something. You see? It's very important. I'm really begging y'all to make the changes because these wicked minds are doing stuff to the foods, and they don't care nothing about you because greed and money is more important than human life for them. And they don't care if their children eat this stuff. As long as they can make their money, don't they realize family members don't eat this mess? Unless they're turning them on to the details, which I doubt. Otherwise, they'll hate them forever. But brothers and sisters, please pay close attention. You see? This is important. Now, I don't come on every week for nothing. I come on to share this information because I love you all. And I know those wicked minds aren't going to tell you this. You see? Yes, they're not going to tell you this. Okay, brother and sister, maybe I said enough on that point. Let's get to some of these topics here. And I did mention bladder infection. How many of you out there suffer with bladder infection? I'm sure that some of you have had bladder infections, and I'm sure that some of you may have one right now and don't know what to do because, I'll go to the doctor. I have a good doctor, and he can take care of me. And yeah, okay, you're a good doctor. That might be the one that took your toes off because you died of that infection, and your feet turned gangrene, and they told you there's nothing else they can do but take your feet off or something. You understand what I'm saying? When there's other things you can do, and they won't tell you, and they do the things that they don't tell you about to cure themselves. This is why I'm sharing this information with you, brothers and sisters. And I do practice what I preach. Believe me, I do practice what I preach. I'm not one of these guys get on here and talk about health, then I'm sitting back smoking cigarettes or drinking some alcohol or eating some pork or eating some stuff that I speak against. Practice exactly what I preach. Otherwise, I wouldn't even waste my time. I'd be a hypocrite. And there are those who claim to be into health that are hypocrites. And they try to make money off you. I'm not asking you for nothing. All I want you to do is listen and take notes and save yourself from the knife, from the medication that you get hooked on. And they tell you you got to take forever. Otherwise, you'll die. Scare you. They put fear in you. And you don't believe there's no alternative. My doctor says that stuff doesn't work. Of course he's going to tell you that. If he tells you the truth, he loses a patient. That's money out of his pocket. Oh, don't get me started. Brothers and sisters, I'm not being hard on you. I just want you to just appreciate what's being said because it'll help you. Now, let's look at bladder infections. Some people call it cystitis. You know, anything that has a itis at the end, that means inflammation. Anything that has an itis in the end, so this is cystitis. Just like we have arthritis, inflammation, you see? So anything with an itis in it is inflammation. So let's look at the bladder infection, cystitis, okay? And, you know, the uncomfortable and irritating symptoms of a bladder infection, you know, especially with American women, it takes them to the doctors. I mean, you got like maybe 6 to 9 million visits every year of women going to the doctor because of cystitis. And most of these women, you know, they're going to be treated with a course of what? Antibiotics. You know, a strategy that kills the current infection, but that leaves the bladder vulnerable to future bacterial invasion. So you didn't really clear nothing up because you're going to get hit again. You know, as a result, most of the women who see a doctor about a bladder infection will return. And 10 to 20% of all women experience a bladder infection at least once over a 12-month period. 10 to 20%. And when the bladder is infected, usually by bacteria, you know, its interior walls become inflamed. That's the itis. And this inflammation, like I said, medically known as cystitis, leads to frequent and urgent need to urinate. Now, although the urine produced may be scanty, and the bladder may not feel completely empty. So, they, you know, there's usually pain or burning upon urination, and there may be cramping in the abdomen or the lower back, and maybe some fever. So, women, you know, suffer from bladder infections far more frequently than men do, mainly because of the female anatomy. So, in women, you know, the urethra, the tube that conducts urine away from the bladder and out of the body is very short, and its opening is in close proximity to both the anus and the vagina. So it's relatively easy for vaginal or intestinal bacteria to travel to the opening, to the urethra, and make their way up the tube and infect the bladder. Although bacteria are the cause of most infections, several other conditions put women at risk for this disorder, you see? And you have to be careful, you know, when you go and you move your bowels, make sure you add a little water to your tissue. You wipe yourself, but wipe away. Don't wipe towards your vagina. Wipe away You understand? Otherwise, you get that bacteria. So anyway, frequent use of antibiotics is one of the most prevalent, okay, since these medications destroy the good bacteria needed to fight infections. Anything else that weakens the immune system, such as stress or poor diet, increases the likelihood of an infection. So pregnancy, sexual intercourse, and injury to the area are associated with a higher risk. Hormone imbalances can also contribute to an increased susceptibility. And menopause is a time when many women first start to experience bladder infections. Yeah, menopause. Now, most bladder infections, you know, they respond well to home care that treats the symptoms while strengthening the immune system. You should still consult a doctor, however, as there is a possibility that the infection can spread to the kidneys. So your physician should monitor your progress and make sure the infection isn't traveling upward. And if you have recurrent infections, your doctor should examine you for a structural abnormality in the urethra, or the bladder that prevents urine from flowing properly. So should your doctor want to prescribe antibiotics, explain to him or her your desire for more conservative treatment and ask whether antibiotics are really necessary. In some cases, they're needed to prevent a kidney infection. So if you are a man with a bladder infection, you may have a more serious condition. You understand? So I'm going to give you some natural solutions, but let's look at the symptoms. And as I said earlier, the symptoms of cystitis, bladder infection, would be pain or burning upon urination, frequent need to urinate, scanty flow or dribbling, cramps in the abdomen or lower back, nausea or vomiting, and even fever. And the root causes. These are the root causes for the bladder infection. That would be vaginal or intestinal bacteria, usually E. coli. Yes, E. coli. And I know you know what E. coli is. Also, the frequent use of antibiotics. Some of you rush to have an antibiotic for every little condition, and that creates that problem. Stress can create bladder infection. Poor diet and food allergies. Even pregnancy. Even though pregnancy is subnatural, but for some people, they wind up with a bladder infection. Sexual intercourse also. Injury can create this problem. Or use of a diaphragm for contraception can cause this problem. Structural abnormality and hormonal imbalance. These are some of the root causes of a bladder infection, brothers and sisters. Okay, now let's look at diet, because diet plays an important role. Make sure, brothers and sisters, make sure that you're getting all the nutrients you need. You know, just plan a well-rounded, wholesome meals made with basic foods that you prepare yourself. Stop going to these fast food places, think that that's the food that's going to take care of you. Or these restaurants, you don't even know what they do. Oh, I can tell you some stories about restaurants. That's not the topic today. We'll save that for another time. Okay? And I'm sure some of you have seen some news reports of what some of the stuff people do to your food before they serve it to you. My God, terrible. But anyway, one of the best strategies for fighting bladder infection is to increase your urine output. Did you hear that? Increase your urine output. Drink as much clean water, and I always suggest distilled water because that's very clean water, as you can stand. 5 to 8 ounce glass of water every waking hour while you have this problem. Now, cranberry juice. Oh man, this stuff works wonders. I'm not talking about that watered down crap you buy from the supermarket. I'm talking about pure, 100% unpasteurized cranberry juice or cranberry concentrate. Okay? And that's always been a folk remedy for bladder infections. And now science helps us to understand why. Because it appears that cranberry juice keeps bacteria from clinging to the linings of the bladder and the urethra. And you can find, like I said, unsweetened cranberry juice at most of your health food stores. Some supermarkets always carry it. Okay? Make sure it's not pasteurized. But drink several glasses of it a day. And for most of you, it'll clear up. It'll clear up. Now, natural diuretics will help flush out the infection. And what do you think will do that? What natural diuretic are you talking about, brother? What I spoke about earlier. Watermelon. Watermelon Man. Yeah. Remember that song? Yes. Watermelon. Even celery and parsley. You can use them to make fresh juices. This will help. This is natural diuretics. Real food. Do you understand what I'm saying? God put this stuff in nature. Everything you need is in nature. Some of you don't want to believe that. I'd rather go to my doctor. All right, go to your doctor. Okay? He's going to doctor you up, all right. That big bill. Anyway, let's go on. You can add some garlic to clear soap, soups. You can add some soups just put garlic in your meals because, you know, it's a potent infection fighter. Yes, garlic. That's the strong stuff, y'all. You know, when you have your breath smelling the way it does, you know, that's some powerful stuff. They say, I was reading, and they said, do this test. Take a garlic bulb, yes, put it inside your sock. Put your sock on. And they said, in about 15 seconds, you can smell that garlic in your breath. Powerful. Nobody likes garlic breath, but garlic is powerful stuff. So add some garlic, okay, to your food. And if you have to take antibiotics, some of you don't take it anyway, eat a cup of unsweetened live yogurt or another cultured product every day, which could be, what do you think that could be? Sauerkraut. Okay? That's a fermented food. These foods help return good bacteria to your body because you got to get the good bacteria into your body. When you take antibiotics, it removes the good bacteria. Okay. Now, what foods should you avoid? Very important. The main foods you should avoid, some of you, oh, I can't do that. Sugar. Yes, sugar. Sugar, okay, brown sugar, white sugar, you know, y'all be calling each other sugar, hey, sugar, hey, brown sugar, I don't know if they say, hey, white sugar, but sugar depresses the immune system and encourages the growth of bacteria. This is not a good food. Sugar weakens the body. I don't know how many of you study history, but, you know, back in the, I think, maybe the 13th century, you know, at one time the Moors, they invaded Spain, they came into Spain, And they start the Renaissance. That's back in the 700s. And the Renaissance, and they stayed there for 800 or 900 years in Spain. And then when the Crusades started, the European found a way to weaken the Moor. They gave him sugar. They introduced them to sugar. And sugar weakened them. Yes, it weakened them, and they couldn't fight the fight. You see. And then, of course, you know, their fighting system was different because they weren't going to try to destroy things that of nature and things of that. And but the Europeans were very, very gross the way they went about killing and all of that. But they weakened the Moors behind using sugar. Read the history. Anyway, sugar weakens your immune system, becomes susceptible to all kinds of sickness. That's why I always tell people, sugar is one molecule from becoming crack. And, you know, crack is very addictive. So avoid all refined sugars, including those in alcohol, while you're trying to battle the infection. But you should stay away from sugar, period. Okay? And you should, like I said, restrict them once you've recovered. But during the course of the infection, stay away from salty, spicy, processed, or refined foods, as well as caffeine. Now, you heard me speak about processed foods earlier. You know, all that salt, salty food, you shouldn't be, and even table salt, very bad. You got to have salt. You always have sea salt, pure sea salt, okay? So all these substances will further aggravate the problem. Food allergies can cause recurrent bladder infections. Yes, food allergies, okay? Many women who are frequent consumers of sodas. Listen carefully, women. Many women who are frequent consumers of sodas, both the sugary and the diet type, experience recurrent bladder infections. Sodas, whether made from natural or artificial sweeteners, are never a good idea. You see? You have to stay away from soda. Soda, to me, and I might be 100% right, it's probably the most detrimental food you can put. It's not even a food, that substance that you can put in your body. Soda. It's artificial. It's destructive. The phosphoric acid will eat your bones up. Yes, it will eat your bones up and cause osteoporosis, especially in the women. Soda is not a substitute for water. Sodas will make you thirstier after you drink it because it dehydrates the body. Soda is number poison. I gotta have my Coke. I gotta have this mountain stuff. I gotta have this and that. And now, you know, they sell you these big liter bottles. When I was a kid, it was a little can. Or even the Coke was a small bottle. Now it's this humongous bottles. And some of you drink two of those a day. I can't believe it. I said, my God, what are you doing? You know how destructive this stuff is? Yes. I'm telling you, stay away from sodas, period. Period. It doesn't belong in your body. It's creating problems, brothers and sisters. Please pay close attention. Now, also, for the bladder infection, you should do maybe a detoxification. You can do a 3-day juice fast. You know, that's a strong weapon against, you know, incurring infections. And you should concentrate mostly on vegetable juices, a lot of green juices, as opposed to the fruit juices. you know, at this time, since you want to avoid too much, even though the fruit juice is natural, I'm talking about the fresh ones. But when you drink fruit juice, dilute it with clean water if you don't have it. Now, but the green juices, the vegetable juices, is what you should concentrate on, especially celery juice. Very important. And you can add a little apple just to give it a little sweetened taste. Fresh apple. Now, let me give you some herbal stuff and some other things that you can take for this problem, the bladder infection. Anybody ever hear of a herb called Uva Ursi? Get your pen out. Write this down. U, V as in Victor, and A, that's Uva, and then Ursi is U-R-S-I, Uva Ursi. And you want to take a standardized capsule containing 250 milligrams of arbutin. Write this down, A-R-B-U-T-I-N. This is an ingredient that's in the Uva Ursi, okay? And or whether you're taking a capsule or the tincture form, make sure it's got that in there. And you want to take it four times daily. The arbutin is a constituent in Uva Ursi that is converted in the body to a chemical called hydroquinone, which destroys what? Bacteria. Yes, Uva Ursi. Get that if you have this problem. Another ingredient is called D-mannose. I'm going to spell that for you. You don't have a capital D, D as in David, dash mannose, which is M-A-N as in Nancy, N again as in Nancy, O-S-E, D-mannose. You want to take 500 milligrams four times daily. This substance prevents bacteria from being able to attach to the urinary tract and the bladder wall. Natural. Or you can go for a homeopathic remedy. Homeopathy is a very good way of ridding the body of these symptoms. You can eat, and you usually pick the remedy that best matches your symptoms, and you go to a health food store and they have homeopathic remedies, and you try to match it up with the symptoms that you have. You know, like for acute bladder infection, you would take a 30C potency four times daily. And after you notice improvement, stop taking the remedy unless symptoms return. That's one thing you can do. And you can consult with a homeopathic practitioner. You know, I advise that. Another herb. Very good. Two of these, actually. Echinacea and golden seal. Yeah, I know you know how to spell golden seal, so I don't have to go there, but let me spell echinacea for you. Echinacea is E-C-H-I-N-A-C-E-A, echinacea. And you would take 500 milligrams of the capsule form. Or get the tincture form four times daily. These herbs enhance immune function to combat infections. Of course, I mentioned the cranberry earlier. Make sure you take that cranberry juice. There's another herb called horsetail. And it's not made from no horse's tail, okay? So don't go looking for a horse and chop his tail off. So you go to the health food store and ask them for some horsetail. Okay? So you want to take, this is an herb, you want to take 500 milligrams of the capsule, or you get the tincture, 4 times daily. When you buy the tincture, you just make sure that you take it according to the instructions. Okay? This herb has a long history of use for urinary tract infections. Another good thing is to take vitamin C. Yes. Take it in the buffered form. Ask for buffered vitamin C. And you want to take maybe 1,000 milligrams 4 to 5 times daily. Because vitamin C enhances immune function and inhibits the growth of E. coli. Remember, that's one of the root causes. And makes the urine more acidic so that the bacteria cannot grow as easily. This is what you can do. Here's another powerful antibacterial called oregano oil. And matter of fact, make sure it's wild Mediterranean oregano oil. Oregano is O-R-E-G-A-N-O. Get wild Mediterranean oregano oil, P73. And it has a powerful antibacterial and antiviral effects. Yes. And you would take maybe a few drops of the oil under your tongue. Just read the instructions. Or you can buy it in a capsule form and take about 500 milligrams of the capsule 4 times daily. Now, when you get in the oil form, the extract form, that is, and you put it on your tongue, it's very spicy. Okay? It's very spicy, but it's powerful. Okay? Also, you can use some vitamin A. Vitamin A enhances immune function. You might take 25,000 to 50,000 IUs daily. IU means international units. And you take that daily for 1 week. But if you are pregnant, sisters, do not use it, okay? Also, a probiotic that contains friendly bacteria that prevent the overgrowth of harmful bacteria. It is especially important to take if you are using antibiotics, which destroys the friendly bacteria, and take it at a separate time during the day if you decide to take this antibiotic. And continue to use it for 2 months. And take a probiotic product containing at least 4 billion, that's billion with a B, organisms daily. This is what you can do for bladder infection cystitis. Okay? But brothers and sisters, just remember, stay away from those sugary foods, those sodas, and then just be careful. Be very careful. This is important. I think I shared enough about the bladder infection. Hopefully you take heed, okay, and you won't have this problem anymore. Okay. The next one we're going to deal with is glaucoma. And as a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, I covered cataracts on a previous program. So we're going to skip the cataracts. I just thought about it. I did cover cataracts. So we're going to go to glaucoma. Now, there's plenty of people suffering with glaucoma, especially in the African-American community. I see many of our people just suffering with this problem. And glaucoma is something that needs to be taken care of. So, anyway, let's look at glaucoma. No, glaucoma affects more than 2 million Americans and is the second leading cause of blindness in this country, glaucoma. And this can be a very serious disease that must be given medical care as soon as possible. Permanent vision loss is to be avoided. Now, in the healthy eye, fluid is produced and drained at equal rates. If the fluid cannot drain properly, it builds up and puts pressure on the optic nerve, the retina, and the lens. This pressure can partially damage or even completely destroy the retina and the optic nerve. So, if the outflow channels are open and become blocked with debris, this disorder, the disorder is called open angle glaucoma. But chronic open angle glaucoma is the most common form and usually occurs over the years. And fluid drains too slowly from the anterior chamber of the eye and pressure builds up. At first, increased pressure in the eyes produces no symptoms. But as the disease progresses, brothers and sisters, symptoms may include narrowing peripheral vision, mild headaches, and vague visual disturbances such as seeing halos. Yes, now, I'm not talking about angels walking around with halos. I'm talking about halos around electric lights or having difficulty adapting to darkness. So at some point, tunnel vision, where the visual field narrows and makes it hard to see anything on either side when looking forward, may develop. Think about it. Now, if the channels are blocked by the iris, the disorder is then called closed angle glaucoma. Fluid pressure increases quickly and causes intense pain in one eye, along with headaches and vision problems, including blurring, also a halo effect around lights. The eyeball feels hard to the touch, and the pain may be so severe that it causes nausea and even vomiting. Yes. And the eyelid swells. The eye becomes red and watery. So these symptoms are warning signs that you must receive medical care immediately. Permanent vision loss and even total blindness can settle in after just a few days. And fortunately, acute glaucoma is rather rare and accounts for only maybe 10% of all glaucoma cases. Certain medications, long periods spent in darkness, and stress are all potential triggers for an attack. Yeah. Are you paying attention? Okay. I hope you're seeing what I'm talking about here. All right, now. Since the disease targets older people most frequently, anyone over 65 should make glaucoma tests part of their annual eye exam. African Americans who have a much higher incidence of glaucoma than the rest of the population does should start getting annual tests after the age of 40, as should anyone with diabetes. You hear that? If at any age you experience a loss of peripheral vision, constant low-level headaches, eye pain, or blurred vision that is not corrected with one new lens prescription, see a doctor at once. If you test positive for glaucoma, you may not be able to recover the damage that's already been done. But there's a good chance that you can significantly slow the progress of the disease. Yes. So, you know, there's not seen to be one single cause of glaucoma. Most likely it's a variety of factors, you know, that come into play. You know, a good strategy for prevention as well as treatment in conjunction with a doctor's care incorporates reducing the general number of toxins in the body, eating foods that support the eye. I always tell you, real food, pure food, yes. So you're eating foods that support the eye, correcting nutritional deficiencies associated with glaucoma, enhancing digestion, avoiding medications that predispose one to glaucoma, and reducing stress. That's why you have to learn how to eat right and take care of yourself so you don't get on these medications which may lead to glaucoma, brothers and sisters. Okay? Oh, boy. Okay, what are the symptoms of open-angle glaucoma, the first one I spoke about? Again, narrow wind peripheral vision, mild headaches, vague visual disturbances, and tunnel vision. Now the symptoms of closed-angle glaucoma. Again, you know, chronic glaucoma is usually asymptomatic, until irreversible damage has already been done. So signs that chronic glaucoma has already progressed include the following. Intense pain in one eye with vision problems, nausea and vomiting, swollen eyelid, red watery eye, vision loss. The root causes, yes, accumulation of waste and metabolic slowdown related to age. Accumulating waste. Where does that waste accumulate? In your gut, in your intestine, in your colon, where all disease begins. That's why you got to clean it out. Get the poisons and toxins out of your system. Detox. Another root cause is high blood pressure. Yes, I've touched on high blood pressure in this program. Gave you all the solutions. Some prescription drugs, including corticosteroids, antidepressants, and blood pressure medication. You see why it pays to be healthy? So you don't have to take these drugs. Certain illness, such as other eye disorders, especially macular degeneration and diabetes. Also nutritional deficiency, and in some cases, heredity could be. So what's the treatment, brothers and sisters? Because this is a very serious problem. You know, it just hurts to see somebody who has or suffering with this problem. It's not easy. It's painful. And you don't want to lose your vision, brother. Since you do not want to lose your vision. You want to be able to see everything in front of you. You want to see all the beautiful things in life. You don't want to lose sense of seeing. So, if you have glaucoma of either kind that I mentioned, first, it should be under doctor's care. I'm not going to deny that. The therapies I will list here will complement and support the conventional treatment that you'll receive from your doctor. natural therapies work very well for chronic and open angle glaucoma. Yes. So you should pay close attention now. First, diet. That's diet's always bottom line. What foods should be recommended for this problem? Well, I say eat a basic, wholesome diet based on whole grains, fresh fruits, and vegetables. You can get carotenoids. I'm sorry. They're essential for optimum eye health. So consume plenty of orange, yellow, and green leafy vegetables. It is also highly recommended that you drink live juice from these and other fruits and vegetables several times a day. It'll help you greatly. You know, the bioflavonoid and anthocyanidin fights free radicals and helps keep the collagen around the eye healthy and flexible. What would that be? Blueberries and cherries are excellent sources. I tell people all the time, eat blueberries. Blueberries. Put them in your smoothie. If you can't find the fresh, get the frozen. And make sure they're organic. You want the best. Get the frozen. Put them in your smoothie. Excellent for your eyes. Blueberries have always been known to help you have good vision. So blueberries and cherries, those are important. And make sure you drink a glass of clean water every 2 waking hours to flush out toxins and to keep the eye tissues supple. I didn't say soda. No, no. No Yahoo doo. Or that Coke stuff. You should know why they call it Coke, but anyway. None of that stuff. Water. Water is what you need. And spread your consumption of water and other liquids out across the day so that you do not build up pressure in your eye. Okay? And there have been some studies have shown that fish oils help to lower the eye pressure. Yes. And you can also incorporate some fatty fish such as salmon, mackerel, and cod into your meals 2 or 3 times a week. Another good thing, chromium and magnesium. Both have beneficial effects on glaucoma. Look into that, brothers and sisters. Also, brewer's yeast. Brewers is B-R-E-W-E-R-S. Brewer's yeast is the best source of chromium. Yes. Also kelp, K-E-L-P is the seaweed. Leafy greens, apples, and safflower and sesame oils. But now, the safflower and sesame oils must be cold-pressed and organic, and it will provide you with the magnesium you need, you see, right there in your food. Now, foods that you're going to have to avoid if you have this condition. Well, you know, fluid retention in the eye may be a response to food allergies. Yes, some foods that you're allergic to may create this problem. So if you find that consumption of a certain food makes your eyes red, irritated, painful, or tender, you should avoid that product from now on. And after you eat it, it'll tell you. Caffeine has been shown to reduce blood flow to the eyes. So avoid coffee and all that conventional chocolate. You know the crappy chocolate I'm talking about. Not the cacao, the pure 100%. But they all have caffeine in it, so you should avoid it while you have this problem. Caffeinated teas, any teas with caffeine, you should avoid. And you know you got to avoid soda, like I said. Please. They have caffeine in it. And you know, a toxic liver may be related to eye problems also. So, you know, you should avoid alcohol, which puts a terrible burden on this essential organ, the liver. Alcohol should not be in your body. Your body produces some kind of alcohol, but not the one you take out of a bottle and turn up and swallow so you can get intoxicated and drunk. That does not belong in your body. And if you got this problem, you definitely need to leave that alone. You definitely need to leave that alone. Okay, let me give you some other suggestions, some that I just touched on. I just said magnesium. You can buy some magnesium from the store. And you want to take 250 milligrams twice daily. Magnesium relaxes the blood vessel walls and improves blood flow to the eye. Okay? And that's why I suggested that you have these safflower oil and sesame oils, because they do have magnesium in it. But if you just want to buy the magnesium itself, okay, as a supplement, you can do that. Vitamin C, again, take 1,000 milligrams 2 to 4 times daily. Get a buffered form of vitamin C. And, you know, studies have shown that vitamin C supplements reduces eye pressure. Huh? Yes. I mentioned fish oil earlier. Maybe get 600 milligrams of what they call EPA in the fish oil and 400 milligrams of DHA in the fish oil. Okay? And it shows that the supplement shows a significant drop in intraocular pressure. Another good thing is alpha-lipoic acid. I will spell that for you. Alpha is A-L-P-H-A. Lipoic is L-I-P, that's P as in Peter, O I-C, and of course, acid, A-C-I-D. Now, alpha-lipoic acid, you want to take 100 milligrams twice daily. This is an antioxidant and has been shown to improve vision for some people with this disease. Okay? Another thing is bilberry. Bill, B-I-L, berry. This is very good. You can take a 160 milligram twice daily of a 25% anthocyanosides extract. Bilberry improves blood flow and contains flavonoids that support eye structure and function. Now, for those of you who don't have glaucoma, you should just drink bilberry tea a couple times a week to protect you from the problem. Another good thing is ginkgo biloba. Ginkgo is G-I-N-K-G-O. Biloba is B as in Bill, I-L-O, B as in Bill again, A. Ginkgo biloba. Take 60 milligrams. 3 times daily, okay? Make sure it's got a 24% flavone glycoside extract. You don't get it in an extract form. Ginkgo has been shown to be helpful for glaucoma. It improves blood flow and contains flavonoids that support eye structure and function. And I mentioned chromium earlier, so I mentioned the foods that you can get it from, or you can buy the chromium supplement. And you would take 250 to 500 micrograms, not milligrams, micrograms, MCG. Just look for the MCG. That's micrograms twice daily. And it's particularly important for people with diabetes to supplement for blood sugar balance and the prevention of glaucoma. You see? And some other recommendation, I would say just some grapeseed extract or maritime pine bark. These improve circulation. You would take 100 to 200 milligrams daily. Or you can get some rutin, R-U-T-I-N. This is a bioflavonoid that has been shown in older studies to help glaucoma. And you would take 20 milligrams 3 times daily. Also, brothers and sisters, look into homeopathy. Okay? They have certain remedies for that. You go to your health food store and ask them for a homeopathic remedy for chronic glaucoma. And they'll let you know which one's which. So these are the things that you can do for this condition. That's just, you know, you might have to do some stress reduction because some of you develop this because of stress. You see? Stress may contribute to glaucoma, like I said, and it's definitely caused by glaucoma. So for many people, vision problems mark a significant change of life. So consider learning to meditate. It'll reduce daily tension. And you can practice the technique for the rest of your life, no matter what condition of your eyes. And there's other remedies, like Bach flower remedies, that's B-A-C-H. You can look into that. You know, you can select the appropriate remedy and place 10 drops of the liquid under your tongue and hold the drops in place for 30 seconds and swallow. And use as often as needed. And for an attack of acute glaucoma, get what they call rescue remedy. Rescue, R-E-S-C-U-E, like I'm rescuing you. Rescue remedy and can help you handle the pain calmly as you look to seek for professional help. But don't just use rescue remedy in place of medical care, okay? So these are the things you can do, brothers and sisters, for this complication. You know, and try to avoid eye strain, too. You know, from reading. Some of you like to read in the dark with little light. This is straining your eye. Or some of you love to be in front of the computer for long periods. This is strain on your eye. You got to take frequent breaks and look away from the screen. Or you're reading material often. And don't watch television in the dark. That creates a problem, stress on your eyes. And prolonged periods in the darkness with the pupils dilated can bring on acute glaucoma. Tobacco smoke reduces blood flow to the retina. So don't smoke, and you shouldn't smoke. No. Malcolm once said, people who smoke is a bar on one end and a fool on the other. I have to say it like that. So avoid smoky rooms and bars and restaurants. Well, nowadays, a lot of restaurants, you can't smoke. In some of these bars, you can't smoke it now. You know, but you should stay away from bars anyway. That alcohol is not helping you none. And it's not the best place to be. A bar. Look at the name, bar. Yeah, you're barred, all right. Surrounded by bars. Anyway, so these are just some suggestions, brothers and sisters. And you know, it looks like my time's almost up. And I won't be able to get to the other condition I want to share with you because of limited time right now. I want to deal with muscle aches and cramps, but next week I will, God willing, if we're on, I will touch on that subject and some other subjects or other topics or conditions. So I hope that you all got something out of this. And please, brothers and sisters, make sure you share this with your friends, family members, co-workers. I hope you took notes. This is important. You know, some people have these conditions or some people who may not have this condition. But you should take notes. And if you had a condition, you should have that pen and pad ready. Otherwise, you'd be saying, "I wonder, what did that brother say? What did he say I should take?" No, take the notes now so you don't forget. That's all. This is the way to go about it, brothers and sisters. And I wish we had more time to touch on the other topic. As I was saying earlier, be careful of what you eat. Like I said, there's some devious people out here doing devious things to our food, to our water, and to the atmosphere. And these things are having an effect on our health. All this frankenfood, yeah, frankenfood, that's that GMO stuff that a lot of these countries don't want in their country, but they feed it to the American public. Stand up against GMOs. Whenever they have a rally against GMOs, join that. Join it. You understand? Yes. And talk to your congressman not to support GMOs. You see? If a bill comes out that's trying to pass to label foods that have GMOs, you should be right there supporting that. Yes, you should want labeling of food that contain GMOs. You should know what you're eating. Yes, very important. Some of you think, oh, there's nothing wrong with GMOs. Oh, yeah? You're the guinea pig. You'll find out soon enough. Believe me, you will find out soon enough. Because you will be the victim. And it's already happening, brothers and sisters. So, my brothers and sisters, I thank you so much for listening. I pray God keep you all well. And I hope to get to you again next week that we may share more valuable information. So tune in next week again, Thursday, 6 o'clock Eastern Time. We're here in New Jersey. And we will share this information, but make sure you share this with others. Sharing is a good thing. Again, I thank you. You all have a good night, a peaceful night, a safe night. Assalamu alaikum.